And we come tonight to this miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ performed, this exorcism, we could call it, the young man, the boy, this young son who was demon-possessed, and the Lord Jesus Christ sets him free. And there's so many things that we could say about this miracle tonight, but I want you to notice first of all the sad father. We find here a sad father. You notice what it tells us in verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." A sad father. Wonder, do we have any sad fathers in the meeting tonight? Are you sad because of your son? Because of a loved one who's far away from God? Well, I want you to be encouraged tonight. The message is for you fathers in the meeting, and you're sad, you're weary, you're discouraged because of your son or another loved one, and you just long that they would be saved. You just long that they would be following in your footsteps. I want you to take heart from tonight's message. Now, you'll notice why this father is sad. He describes the condition of his son. And he says there in verse 18, he describes this evil spirit and what it does to the young boy. He says, first of all, it taketh him. Taketh him. You see, this evil spirit had seized the boy. The word taketh, it literally means to seize in such a way as to make something or someone your own. So this evil spirit had taken a firm grip of this young man. And the evil spirit, as far as he was concerned, he wasn't going to let this boy go. And he was going to take him down to hell. And then, you see, the father, he says, he taketh him. And then he says, he teareth him. He teareth him. What the evil spirit was actually doing was taking the boy and was throwing him on the ground. Throwing him down. And the boy was rolling around, writhing around. And this wicked, foul spirit had complete and full control over this little lad. In the original, it's actually a very young boy. You could say an infant. Does that not speak to us tonight? Does not remind us of the cruelty of the devil, the cruelty of the enemy? You see, the devil has no sympathy for the young. He has no compassion whatsoever for young people. And his desire is to destroy young people. We can see that today, surely. In the world in which we live, it seems to be that there's a real bombardment against children and young people. And children and young people are being hit with temptation from every angle. And boy, the devil is working overtime in order to destroy the lives and the souls of the young. No, there's no sympathy when it comes to the enemy. He's a cruel taskmaster. Then the father, he goes on to say, not only he taketh him and he teareth him, but you'll notice he says that he pineth away. He pineth away. You know what that means? He's withering away. It actually means to wither like the grass. Have you ever seen grass withering? Well, this is the picture. This is the description that's given to us here of this boy. He's withering away. He's wasting away. And, you know, the father can do nothing about it. My, his heart must be broken. Oh, how he longs that he could do something. My, how he longs that he would be able to help his son in some way. but he can do absolutely nothing and he's powerless. And he watches the young boy day after day and he's wasting away. No wonder the father was sad. But you not only in this passage have a sad father, but you see, you've got a serious foe. Or we could say a savage foe. You read there in verse 20 that whenever the disciples brought the young boy to Jesus and the father came with his son to the Savior, we read there in verse 20, and they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Here is a savage foe. We're told in verse 22, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You see, here was a young boy, and because of this evil spirit, he was both deaf and dumb. And that's a very sad case. It's always a sad case whenever you see anyone who is deaf or anyone who is dumb. But you see, here we have this evil spirit, and he's behind it. He's responsible for the deafness. He's responsible for the dumbness. Are there not people in Ulster tonight? They're sitting in church services week by week, and they're deaf. They're deaf to the voice of God. They don't seem to hear the speaking voice of God, the warning voice of God. It just seems to be that they hear one message after another, and you know, it just seems to go over their head. There's a deafness. And who's behind it? The enemy. Oh, the enemy loves to maintain that deafness. And if he can just rock the person to sleep, the person is hanging over the pit of hell, but the devil has rocked them to sleep. There's deafness. Then, is there not people in Ulster tonight and they're deaf? They'll not cry out to God for mercy. They'll not pray to God to forgive their sins. And they'll not sing these great hymns of the faith with any kind of enthusiasm or gusto. You've heard me say before that, you know, there are people, I'm not speaking about this church, don't misunderstand me, but other churches I've been in, I've seen people, and you know, they might as well be stuffed dummies, for they're holding the hymn book. And well, there's one of my brothers, he talks about people who are dead if only they'd the wit to stiffen. You know, there's people like that in churches. And they're singing about the blood, or they're singing about heaven, and their lips hardly move. And yet maybe on the Saturday they were at the football match or the rugby match or the cricket match, and you would have thought they were madmen, for they shouted that much. But when it comes to the Sunday service, they're as dead as a dodo. They're dumb. The devil has taken the speech from them. That was the condition of this young boy. He was in the clutches of a savage foe. And that's where you are tonight if you've ever been to Calvary. If you've never been born again, yes, you might be as religious as they come, and you might have people in your family who are saved, and you can think of parents who are saved, or you think of your sons and daughters, maybe they're saved, or brothers and sisters, and they're saved, but you're not. You're in the clutches of the devil. His tentacles are all around you. And you know where he wants to take you? He wants to take you to hell. Well, that's his dream. And every time a soul goes down into the caverns of the damned, you hear this hiss and this cheer from the pit of hell. Another soul has been damned. There was a sad father and there was a savage foe. But I want you to notice here also that, thank God, there was a simple faith. A simple faith. You see, the father, he says in verse 24, and it tells us that he had tears. He said with tears. It's good to have tears, isn't it? Oh my, I have great respect for a father who sheds tears for their son and for their loved ones. God give us a country full of fathers like that. God give us a church full of fathers like that. Now, we're not speaking about the crocodile tears, because there's a lot of crocodile tears around today. And you go up to Stormont and you'll find plenty of the crocodile tears. Oh, there's plenty of those false tears today. But no, we're thinking here about real tears. And you know, we're not even thinking about something that you work up. Because that can happen too. And it's sad to say that's the problem in Ulster tonight as well. Tears that are worked up. Emotions that are worked up. But you see, we're not thinking about anything that's worked up or anything that's false, but we're thinking about something that comes down from heaven, rests upon the father, the mother, and they shed tears out of love for the souls of their offspring. It's a very wonderful thing. And here we have this father, and he says in verse 24, through his tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Here was simple faith. You will notice that he didn't say, I believe. He prefaced it with the word Lord. You see, if you just say, I believe, that's just psychology, that's just psychiatry. That's what it can do for you. Psychology and psychiatry today, and there's a lot of it around, and thank God some of it's good, but some of it's not so good. And it's creeping more and more into the Christian church, kind of leaving this book aside, and we'll just go to the professionals, psychologist and the psychiatrist. But you see, if the man had just said to Jesus, I believe, it would just have been the power of positive thinking. Wouldn't have been anything more than psychology or psychiatry. But no, he says, Lord, I believe. He brought the Lord into the situation. That's where the dynamite is, you know. That's what makes the difference. That's why this boy was set free, because the Lord was in the midst. Because the Lord Jesus had come down. And we need him to come down today by his Spirit. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 64, and we read it this morning, but we didn't read the verse, oh, that thou wouldest come down. that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. Well, thank God that's what happened in Mark chapter 9, because the Lord came down. And this poor father, oh, his faith wasn't strong. But you know, he had faith in the right person. It was in the Lord. You know, a father, a mother whose faith is in the Lord, they'll never be disappointed. Sooner or later, the answer will come. I want to speak for a moment or two about the serious fault that we find. The serious fault that's found there in verse, is in verse 18, right at the end of verse 18. Here's the words of the Father. We have already touched on how he spoke to Jesus and his simple faith, but here's the serious fault of the disciples. Verse 18, I spake to thy disciples that they should cast them out, and they could not. They could not. Here's the serious fault. Here's the serious failure. Those three words, they could not. Is that not a picture of the church today? Powerless. Could you not write those three words over the average church in Ulster today? They could not. Seems to be that the devil is just having a field day out there. He's just making hay. And the church is powerless to stop him. You see, there were 9 disciples down in the valley. 9 powerless people. And there were 3 disciples up on the mountain with the Savior. Now, I'm trying to work out, why was it that the 9 people down in the valley, why they were powerless? And whenever the Father came to them with the demon-possessed son, why was it that they couldn't cast him out? You see, Jesus had already given them authority over evil spirits. But for some reason, they couldn't cast the evil spirit out. Well, there could have been many reasons, but I want to suggest one as we finish tonight, as we come toward the end of the meeting. Could it have been that they weren't up on the mountain with the Savior? Peter, James, and John, they went up the mountain with Jesus, and the 4 of them had a prayer meeting on the mountain. And yet there were heavenly visitors, Moses and Elijah. They came and joined the prayer meeting, but it wasn't a big prayer meeting. Some people think, oh, you have to have big numbers and you have to fill the prayer room for it to be effective. Well, I don't believe that. I would love the room to be filled, but you don't have to have a full room to make it an effective prayer meeting. You can just have a handful, a faithful few believers meeting to seek the throne of grace. And there was this little tiny prayer meeting going on up on the mountain. But the 9 boys, they were down in the valley. And they weren't up on the mountain. They didn't go to the place of prayer. Or I should have said the place of power. You see, friends, we have got to pray if we're going to have power. There's no point an individual Christian or a church thinking that they can fight the devil without prayer. It can't be done. And I believe that that's certainly one of the reasons why they were powerless. You know, finally, I see here, thank God, in this passage, there's a saving friend. a saving friend. You see the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told there in verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. The Lord Jesus lifts this little boy. Everybody thinks he's dead. Everybody thinks there's no hope for him. He's past hope. But Jesus goes to him and he lifts him up. Do you know what the word means in the original? It means that Jesus took a firm hold of the boy. He took a firm grip of the boy. You see, earlier in the chapter, we read about how the evil spirit had taken the boy and he had seized the boy. But isn't it lovely at the end of the passage that the Lord Jesus now takes the boy? And he lifts him up and he sets him gloriously free. Well, the Savior is still able to set boys free today. But maybe you're not a boy and you say, "It's been a long time since I was a boy." Well, he's still able to set you free too. Anyone in this meeting tonight who needs that liberating power, you need Jesus, the great emancipator. I'm glad to tell you tonight that he's here and he's able to set you free. Let's pray. Our Father, we think of the many lost souls outside the church tonight, in this village, in this city. And Lord, our hearts go out to them. We think of our loved ones tonight, and our hearts go out to them too. But Lord, we can't set them free. We're just like, in a sense, we're like the 12 disciples, because Lord, without thee, we can do nothing. But we pray, blessed Savior, that you will come to precious souls tonight, and that you would set them free. Lord, we think of any in the meeting tonight. Perhaps there's someone in this service tonight, and Lord, they need to be set free as well. Oh Lord, for Jesus' sake, grant them freedom this night. We ask it in thy precious name.